How many know that? Now, here's the other thing. Let me ask you a question. Do you think it's going to be harder on the disciples from them starting the church and moving forward? Or is it going to be hard on you and harder on you and me as we are ending the church age and have supposed to have this down by now? Huh? They were just learning back then. We're supposed to know. We should be doing our job and doing it well. So today we're going to talk about that stewardship thing. So Wednesday night, band practice at 6:25. And then we're going to have a flap. Saturday, men's breakfast. Is there anything else I missed? That's not tomorrow. No, that's the following Monday. The following Monday. Yeah, not tomorrow. Okay, good. Huh? Signs on Wednesday and Friday. Once again, how many of you would like to participate in that and who've never done it? Raise your hand. Okay, it's kind of cool. I mean, I'm telling you. Jesus said, and this is what I use, and I keep saying it over and over and over. Anybody can do it. If you can't stand that long, bring a chair. Lawn chair, you sit there. But Jesus said, go into the world and what? Preach the gospel. Preach the word. Tell people the word of God. So we're literally standing on U.S. 41. And somebody was going to get a count of the number of travel. I don't know what it is. But literally, in the hour that we're there, from 9 to 10 on Wednesdays and Fridays, there's literally thousands of cars that go by. And I make it a point. I get serious. You know, there's a sign that says, God wants you. I literally go past the cars like this or something. I go... And the one that says, Jesus can give you joy, I go, joy. And then I point to the Bible verse. So there's no excuse. They know. They hear.
Oh, people are seeing it.
They're seeing it.
I had friends last night talk about it. They said, you see the Trump rally on one side of the Biden people? And somebody said, oh, there's even Jesus people going out there.
That's what we want to be known for. Stand up for Jesus. Stand out. Speak up. Just put the word out there. It's not our job to convince them. It's just our job to show them. And when I point joy and I go like that, you'd be amazed the number of people sitting there going tapping. They're like, they're pretending like they don't see me. Never fails to get a smile. So yeah, it's fun. It's a blast. It really is. No one's going to shoot at you. Don't worry about that. It's going to be fun. It'll actually grow your faith and give you encouragement. All right. Because of the times we live in, and because we know, I didn't say we believe. We know. There's a difference between belief and know. I know that I'm saved. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
I know when I die, if I die right now, you put a gun to my head, don't matter to me if you pull the trigger. I know exactly where I'm going. But since I am saved, I also know that I cannot be lost. Once a butterfly transitions from a worm, from that caterpillar thing, into a butterfly, it cannot go backwards. Now, it can go and hang out with all of its dirty butterfly wormy buddies, the caterpillars, and get filthy, dirty butterfly, which some of you are good at doing once in a while. Occasionally I do. But it'll never turn back into a caterpillar or a worm. So once you're saved, you're always saved. It's the idea is whether you're going to walk and step with Christ or you're not. Okay? So because I am saved, redeemed, justified, sanctified, washed in the blood of the Lamb, on the way to the kingdom, I am, come on, Ben.
Bulletproof.
Come on, let's go.
Yeah.
You like that intro, Vic? There you go. How we doing, lady? Me? So, dancing.
Dancing, dancing, dancing.
I'll be all right.
So we only do the giving and news 3 times.
Go ahead, Mike. Oh, you got to sing this song. You'll love it. He's singing in his heart. You started it, right? Yeah. All right, guys, you ready? We're getting our Bee Gees on. I used to live like I was under attack. Dodging arrows from my back. I said I had no hope for a long road. I said was wrestling as I thought I was dressed. And now there's no looking back. I'm moving forward cause I know I got my armor now. No fear, no doubt can shoot me down. I got my armor now. No fear, no doubt. Don't shoot me down, 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 down. Max is sitting back there. Come on, I want to hear. He goes,
no.
Hey, he sings when it's up here.
It's okay. It's okay. I'm not mocking you. It'll come. Remember that. We remember this the other day, you know. I used to worry about what people thought of me when I was real little, you know, in high school and stuff, junior high. And then you grow up and you realize, I don't ever see any of those people I went to school with, ever. But I see all you, And the people that are in my realm, the people that are in my sphere, I see you all the time. And what does Jesus say to do in your world? To go into your world and reach them. Isn't that true? That's good news. I like that. I asked my buddy Jason if he would come up here and do us a story. Now, he's going to read. This is going to be a long one. And I want you to follow it along because I got some new insights. I love the Word of God. I love when people tell me, yeah, I read the Bible through in my life 5 times. That does not impress me. I do not care if you read the Bible through. As a matter of fact, I don't recommend that ever. You know, start in the New Testament, stay in the New Testament, and then when you finally got grace, then you go back to the old a little bit. But man, look, to read it and have the Holy Spirit working with you while you are reading it, to ask His guidance as you read it, and then watch something come to life and go, oh, I never got that before. That's fun. How many people know what I'm talking about? Yeah, isn't that cool? So open up your Bibles to the book of Luke. Luke. I am your father. Luke chapter 16. Come on up here, Jace. What?
Jack's coming.
Jack's reading? Woo! Let me get the stand for the Jack man. All right, here we go. Huh?
Where do I stop at?
Just read a whole chapter, dude. Hold on, let me get you up here closer. Come on. We got a treat.
Don't worry, Jack. I got the same
thing.
He's got it.
Stand up there. Stand up. All right, you can handle it, right?
Yeah. There was a rich man whose manager was accused.
Hold on, wait a second. Is everybody, they're not ready. You are. They're not. That's right. You all right? Good?
Okay. There was a rich man whose manager was accused of wasting his possessions. So he called him in and asked him, "What is this I hear about you? Give an account of your management, because you cannot be manager any longer." The manager said to himself, "What shall I do now? My master is taking away my job. I am not strong enough to dig, and I am ashamed to beg. I know what I will do so that when I lose my job here, people will welcome me into their houses." So he called in each one of his master's debtors. He asked the first one, "How much do you owe my master?" 800 gallons of olive oil," he replied. The manager told him, "Take your bill, sit down, and make it 400. Then he asked the second, "And how much do you owe?" 1,000 bushels of wheat," he replied. He told him, "Take your bill and make it 800. The master commended the dishonest manager because he had acted shrewdly. For the people of this world are more shrewd in dealing with their own kind than are the people of the light. I tell you, use worldly wealth to gain friends for yourself, so that when it is gone, you will be welcomed into eternal dwellings. Whoever can be trusted with very little can also be trusted with much, and whoever is dishonest with very little will also be dishonest with much. So if you have not been trustworthy in handling worldly wealth, who will trust you with true riches? And if you have not been trustworthy with someone else's property, who will give you property of your own? No servant can serve two masters. Even he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money." The Pharisees, who love money, heard all this and were sneering at Jesus. He said to them, "You are the ones who justify yourselves in the eye of men, but God knows your hearts. What is highly valued among men is detestable in God's sight." The law and the prophets were proclaimed until John. Since that time, the good news of the kingdom of God being preached, and everyone is forcing his way into it. It is easier for heaven and earth to disappear than for the least stroke of a pen to drop out of the law. Anyone who divorces his wife and marries another woman commits adultery, and the man who marries a divorced woman commits adultery. There was a rich man who was dressed in purple and fine linen and lived in luxury every day. At his gate was laid a beggar named Lazarus, covered with sores and longing to eat. What fell from the rich man's table, even the dogs came and licked his sores. The time came when the beggar died, and the angels carried him to Abraham's side. The rich man also died and was buried in hell, where he was in torment. He looked up and saw Abraham far away with Lazarus at his side. So he called to him, "Father Abraham, have pity on me, and send Lazarus to dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, because I am in agony of this fire." But Abraham replied, "Son, remember that in your lifetime you received your good things, while Lazarus received bad things. But now he is comforted here, and you are in agony. And besides, all this between us and you, a great chasm between us and you, a great chasm, has been fixed, so that those who had been fixed, so that, oh my God, want to go from here, you cannot. Nor can anyone cross over from there to us." He answered, "Then I beg you, Father, and send Lazarus to my father's house, for I have five brothers. Let him warn them, so that they will also not come to this place." Abraham replied, "They have Moses and the prophets. Let them listen to them." "No, Father Abraham," he said, "but if someone from the dead goes to them, they will repent." He said to them, "If they do not listen to Moses and the prophets, they will not be convinced even if someone rises from the dead."
All right. Good job. There you go, brother. Thank you. Hey, we're going to have a kid class. All the kids. We're going to have a kid class on how to do this and pointers and ways to help you not only just read, but to also even do the prayers and speak. And heck, we're going to have you read, writing sermons. Good job. You know what my favorite part of that whole thing that he was reading? You know what my favorite part was? Anybody guess?
A kid speaking God's words?
When it came time to turn the page, I heard, as all of you turned the page. You can't go to a football game and really know who the players are if you don't have a program. So I love when you bring your Bibles to church and you're following right along, because you're going to mark stuff. I want to tell you some things today that you're going to want to mark in your Bible. It's going to be good too. So, good deal. Luke 16. Kids can go. Mike's here. Yeah, I love it. All right. We're calling a funeral home. I guess you're alive. Canceling that service call. There you go. Yeah. Hey, I'm going to remind you again, please, and it's not to beat anybody up. It's just kind of say, we get really hectic in our lives. We get running here and there, to and fro. It gets a little bit crazy. And I know it's tempting to cut off the system. This week I had several different kinds of prayer requests. Please make sure you stick them up on the cross in writing. That does two things. Number one, the last thing that my wife does, and trust me, she's hearing me now. She spends a lot of time on that bulletin. She does. She spends a lot of time. She puts an average of about 3 hours a week in that bulletin. And the last thing she does before she hits print is she goes to the cross here to see if there's anything on there. And if you don't put it in writing and stick it on the cross, it's not going to go in there. Or it'll go in error or in the wrong place, or it'll be misspelled. So please use that cross for our prayer request, and that'll make sure that it gets in there for you. Okay? There's a number of people on the prayer request. What's the update, Galen, on you?
They took him off the ventilator. I guess right now he's still struggling to breathe and stay alive. But it's basically whenever he takes his last breath, it's over.
So, okay. All right. So continue to pray.
My cousin David.
David. He's in the Bible. He's in there. See, you sent a prayer request to me that said that they remove the ventilator. And so we put the name of the family both in prayer for healing and sympathy. We didn't know if he died or not, so we're praying for ahead of time. Okay? Pray for our nation.
President.
Pray for, what's that?
The president.
Pray for the president. Absolutely. Thank you. Pray for the president. President has COVID, as you know. The other day, you know, picking on Vic, we were standing at the corner and he came out and he just looked like somebody stole his last cookie. He was really down and I said, dude, this is big. I don't know what's going to happen with this. I have no idea, but God knows all about it. There's a whole lot of people in the government getting this thing. It's crazy. I'm going to pray specifically for this church because of your faith. Because I don't believe in fear. I believe in faith. I'm a faith guy. I'd rather get the thing and die than not be faithful to my God. So if he sends me somewhere to tell somebody about Jesus and they have it and they give it to me and I pick my nose, oh well. All right. But I'm going to pray that your faithfulness, that we will be protected as a church. Anything else is the last minute we can reach out and pray for? Okay. Let's pray. Father God, we come to you today and thank you so much for those old hymns of faith. Because he lives. The greatest vanishing act in the history of all mankind. You are not in a grave. The only one. We fail to realize how magnificent that is and use that to our advantage when we're talking to people who don't know you. Go ahead. Where did he go? There's no argument that can explain it or even give credence, even in the slightest, that you are not risen again in God. It is because you live and you live inside of us that we become evidence, like the sign says, that God can save anybody. If you save me. Blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. We thank you that you are knowable and that we know you. We thank you that you have chosen the foolishness of preaching, the foolishness of using people in your kingdom to advance it. I don't understand. It makes no sense. To me, it would be easier if you just wrote it across the clouds and in the sky with fire. But you've chose the foolishness of people. We often let you down. We often fail you. But Lord, you continue to say to us over and over and over, there is now therefore no condemnation to us who are in Christ Jesus. That means we are exactly who you say we are. I am your righteousness. I am your mouthpiece, your heart, your hand. And so it is, Lord, as I pray, as these days get really more horrific as we look around the world, that we would take courage in knowing that, hey, it doesn't touch us, it does not apply to us. And if anything else, it should only strengthen our resolve to become good stewards for you. Help us to see that we're not responsible for the whole world, but we are responsible for our little one. And each and every one of us have different people that we can touch. As they flow in and out of our lives, help us to be good, good transporters of your word. Pray for David as he's in the hospital. He's got to be scared, his whole family going through the process. We pray also for Lee and Lee, who's gone. We don't pray for him, but we pray for Hazel, who is left now that Lee has passed away. And she deals with the comfort of grief that you have promised that you would give to her. Bless our church. Bless our president and all the folks in the government who have got this horrible thing, that, Lord God, you will use this for your glory, that you will be able to take them out of their own mindset and put it in, them into yours. We thank you for the opportunity of living in a government that we get a chance to have a say, and help us to say it. We praise you. We bless you. We look forward to serving you in many, many different ways. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, ushers, ushers, ushers. Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Praise Him, all creatures here below. Praise Him above the heavenly host. Praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost.
Give us and so that we can give back to the church. Amen.
All right, another song. Boom. There you go. Good deal. Okay there, Miguel. I love this song. I love this. If you don't know it, it's okay. Just watch the people. This is going to make you smile. Go ahead and sit down.
Sometimes I know that's what they say. But right now it seems as loneliness will go away. Can anybody feel this heartache? Is anyone around? Feels like we're running round in circles. We can't catch a breath. We can't enjoy the moment when we always want what's next. Yeah. Just when I can't take no more, it's when I hear you say, don't hang your head when you get lonely. No, I'll never leave your side. And don't go thinking of the only one that can get it right. Yeah, you got my love, 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 love down in your soul. Yeah, you got my love, 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 and I won't let you go. I know there's nowhere I can run, there's nowhere I can hide from the one who gave his life so I could get back mine. So when you can't take no more, look up and hear him say, don't hang your head when you get lonely. No, I'll never leave your side. And don't go thinking you're the only one that can get it right. Yeah, you got my love, love, love.
No, I'll never leave your side.
having fun. And he goes, they're dancing silly. Dancing funny. Why are they acting like that? I guess my question is, why aren't you? Right? I mean, we had a blast. McKay clan don't get together that often. I mean, now the kids are all grown. We don't get together that often, but Friday night we did. And we went out, and I'll tell you, I have the greatest family on the planet. I don't care what anybody says. I got the best. Put them up against anybody, any place, anytime. We were out doing that fun. We were having dance, and I'd look out, and I would see all of my kids out there dancing on the dance floor. All their spouses. Todd once in a while. The word in theos means God within. Did you know that? In theos. Theos is God. In is in. So we have this little road out here called 681, and spanning off it is, if you're heading north, the very first road light that you hit there is called En Theos Lane, or road, whatever.
Is God there?
Doesn't matter. It was named after him. Enthusiasm means God within. I remember one time I was told as a pastor that I was too enthusiastic. I said, thank you. Appreciate that. Yeah, that's all right. There's nothing wrong with that. We're too enthusiastic. Why aren't you? Open up your Bibles to Luke 16. This is going to be kind of fun. It's going to be interesting. Because I got some new stuff. And by the way, this is going to be one of those funny sermons, because I had all these notes and everything. And then this morning it was kind of like, God goes, don't say that. Don't say that. Just get rid of the notes. Forget it. So I just jotted a couple highlights down. So we're going to see how God turns out. Well, he always preaches. I'm not the guy that does the preaching. This is a little subject that God is very, very involved in and very much invested in. And it's the whole subject called stewardship. Jesus is going to take this chapter 16, and there were no chapters and verses in the beginning. They were just all one written word. But you're going to note that everything in chapter 16, except for a few little introductory facts, is in red. That's because Jesus is talking. That's why I tell people, read John. If you're not familiar with Jesus Christ or you don't know your faith very well, read John. Because it's about Jesus, by Jesus. You can't argue with that. If you don't like that Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, the life, don't take it up with me. Take it up with him. He's the guy who said it. So Jesus is going to tell two different stories within this book or this chapter. And the first one is about a rich man who had a guy working for him. He was called a steward. You might think of him maybe kind of like somebody who is managing the resources of his farm. Okay? He tells a story about how the owner, or the person who owned this farm or this business, we can apply to that, this owner found out that his manager was a crook. He was skimming. He was taking off the top. Do you have any idea who Jesus might have been referring to at the time?
Pharisees?
Yeah, the Pharisees. Pretty much so. Yeah, you know, look, you're not doing the job. You're just skimming off the top. And we can see that because you can see this over here. Circle this little area on verse 14. The Pharisees, who loved money. That was why Jesus talked about it a lot, because they love money. So he found out that this guy was a crook. So he calls him into his office. Now, he doesn't say to him right then, you're fired. Like Donald Trump used to do on the show. You're fired. Don't you wish you could do that sometime? You're fired. He lets him know, hey, look, you're going to come here and you're going to give an accounting for every penny that I gave you. And the whole management of this business or this farm, I want to know. Give me an account. Well, the manager freaks out a little bit, doesn't he? And he's kind of like, oh, no, what am I going to do? I'm dead. I'm fired. I realize I'm fired, but now I got to go give an accounting to the guy, which everybody's going to have to, by the way. You too. You're going to have to. You will. And if you stand there and say nothing, it's going to be on the board behind you. And so he says, I know what I'm going to do. I'm going to go to everybody who owes my master money. I'm going to have a deal. I'm going to make, let's make a deal. And so he did. And he goes out and he says, how much do you owe my master? And one of them said, 800 gallons of olive oil. Now, this is a lot of money. 800 gallons is a lot. Now, we think today, you know, if you were able to go into an olive business and you could see how many olives are brought in and how they press them, and on $800, they can make that, you know, 800 gallons, they can make that in less than a minute. But back in the day when you had to press it and, you know, by hand and that kind of, it took a lot. This is a lot of stuff that is owed. He says, sit down and write 400. He cuts it by half. Then he says to the next guy, how much, what was it, wheat do you owe? And he said, how much? 100 bushels, didn't he? 1,000 bushels. And he says, sit down and make it what?
800.
So he cuts it by 20%, right? Now here's a little note. This is something that I never understood before, because when I don't understand something in the Bible, sometimes I just go past it. There's other times when I don't understand something, he uses that something. He uses that something as a tool to teach me, because I'm inquisitive. Sometimes I don't need to learn that lesson. But if I'm paying attention and he's going beep, 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 and it won't get out of my head, I know he wants me to learn something. I've always had a little problem with this, though I never admitted it. I just blew past it, like I said. Because later on, when the master comes and says to him, the crook, the ripoff, he says, what'd you do? He praises him. And he said, man, you're good. You're shrewd. You went out and used that business sense you had to make friends with the money that was owed. Well, the thing that I had a problem with is that, is the owner of the business praising theft? Because that's what it appears. That's what it seems like. It wasn't his money, I would think, to cut out and say, just write it on in half. Surely when he went before the master, when they came and said, look, your master told me to cut this by half, the guy would say, no, that was him, and he's no longer working here. I finally found the answer to this thing as I was doing a little bit of research, and kind of God used different methods to move this. And having been a commissioned salesperson most of my life, I like this. I like this. What the unjust steward was doing was he was cutting his commission. You understand that, don't you, Gwen? He was cutting his commission. In other words, he said, look, here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to have two wins. The first thing that I'm going to do is I'm going to not take any money from what's owed me, and I'm going to make the person who owes my master, I'm going to take that off their bill so that they're going to like me a lot. They're going to remember me. They're going to forget me. And then on top of that, my owner, my boss, my manager is going to say to me, hey, that was pretty good. Maybe you'll give me a second chance. See? So if you want to write beside your little thing there where it says the manager praised him, just write down there commission. Because that's the part that I learned. It makes sense. I can sell for nothing. I can say, well, okay, if the sale price of a sign was $5,000 and my commission was 10%, that was $500, I could sell the sign for $4,500 and take nothing, right? So that's what the deal was. So he's trying to pad both sides, and he gets praised for it. The interesting thing that I want you to know is that we are stewards. And God is saying, I would like you to use what resources I have given you to influence others. Do you get that? I want you to influence other people. The story of this whole parable is about money being a tool. You get that? Money is a tool. I told you, I'm proud of my family. I'll stack my family against anybody in the history of the world. I really will. The other day when we went out, we went to this cowboy place. It was like they did country music and dancing. And I went into the bathroom. And there's a guy standing there. And I walked in and I turned on the water. And he holds out soap. And he goes, when I went like that, and he put it, soap in my hand. And then when I was done washing my hands, he had 3 paper towels and he handed them to me. Now, I've been in some fancy hotels and restaurants where they have people like that, like the shoe shine guy in there, and they do that. I never would have think to see that in a country dance joint. But there he was. And what am I supposed to do? Ignore him? What is in my wallet is not mine. It doesn't belong to me. And so here I am, hands dried, and he's standing there. What am I going to do now? That's what Jesus is asking me. What are you going to do now? Oh, I can say, that's a stupid job. I can get my own soap. I can wipe my hands and just walk out and say, have a nice day. But I'm a Jesus guy. So I said, thank you. What's your name? He says, my name is Josh. You mean like Josh? Joshua? The surname for Jesus? You mean that's your name? Yeah. Are you a Jesus guy, Josh? He goes, yes, I am. Just like that. I said, that's cool. So I reached in and I pulled out and gave him $2. You know, how much do you give a guy for just handing you a paper towel and all? So I said, $2. I'm sitting there going, is that enough? I mean, I don't know. But I know Josh, and I know Josh is a Jesus guy. Later on, I go out, and I'm talking, and my son says, I'm talking to him a little bit, and I said, yeah, Josh in there, he's a Jesus guy. He says, I know, man. I tipped him $20. Through the course of the night, I watched. And I talked to people who were there, from bartenders to waitresses to waiters to security. Every one of my kids mentioned Jesus. Every one of them. I told you, I love my family. We have learned, and I taught them, we have learned that I don't own money. I work for the master, and he gives me resources, and I can use them for his advantage. You get that? That's why I say over and over, and we're running low on cards, and yes, Randy, I will be ordering more of these bands. Take those cards. If you are out there in the world and you have the opportunity to bless somebody and you can share with them, whether it's a waiter or a waitress or whatever, you share with them, you give them money. If it's your garbage man, I have this great relationship with my garbage guy. I can set anything out there and he'll take it. My next door neighbor gets all irritable. They didn't take my board. Why did they take all your stuff? Because I put a little envelope with a 20 in it and said, garbage man. They're happy. They even stacked the cans for me. And when I go by, I walk out and I hand them a track and say, hey, you're a Jesus guy, right? You see how that works? Use money as a tool to influence for Jesus in your world. I get sick to death of the people who are out there, and this is going to relate into the next story. The panhandlers, the needy. I want to throw up. I get so sick of hearing it. I go to the mailbox every day, and I'm telling you, at least 2/3 of the mail I get goes in the trash. You know why? Because I have Reverend in front of my name. You know that ain't true because there ain't nothing reverend about me. But they send stuff to me with pitiful pictures on the front envelope because they know that churches are supposed to give. And so they set up these real fancy companies that just basically go, well, we'll just send all this mail out, and it'll be like throwing mud on a wall. And eventually, if I show them the right picture of a martyr or a sick child or a dying child or a tornado or a hurricane that killed a bunch of people, they'll feel bad and they'll send money. And then when they send the money, I get to keep 20% of it. Goes in the dumper. I don't feel bad. I don't feel bad. That's why when you give money at the end of the month to this church into the mission fund, trust me, we have done our due diligence, haven't we, Gwen? We know where that money goes. We do not just hand it out to a company that does that. We've done our responsibility. Are you using the resource that your master gave you in your wallet to make friends? To be able to witness for Jesus? Have you ever said something, hey, I got that for you? Oh, by the way, you know why I'm doing this? Because I love Jesus. Do you love Jesus? People say, well, I just don't know what to say to people. You'd be amazing what a $10 or $5, even a $1 bill will do to open up a doorway for you. Right? I'm serious. Use money as a tool. Because that way, people will see that you're genuine. Anybody can say, hey, are you going to heaven when you die? When you're backing up with a resource like cash, now you're invested. Got it? It says it right there in verse 9. Use, this is red. Please read it with me. Use worldly wealth to gain friends for yourselves so that when it is gone, you will be welcomed into eternal dwellings. Can't get any more simple than that. Jesus is telling you, use cash to your advantage. Have you ever heard that in church before? That's pretty new, isn't it? I like it. Sounds good. All right. Jesus then goes on and says, whoever can be trusted with very little can also be trusted with very much. Whoever is dishonest with a little bit will also be dishonest with much.
Look.
Like I said to somebody this week, you call yourself a believer. Are you getting up every morning? Or most mornings? Do you have a part of your routine to sit down and read a little bit of the Word of God? Are you doing that? That's basic elementary 101. It's kindergarten. If you're not reading the Word, don't talk to me. Are you going to church? Are you showing up? See, I'm preaching to the choir here. Are you showing up regularly? Are you here? See, these are the things that God expects you to do, the basics. Are you praying? Are you intervening in other people's lives? Are you trying to be a witness to the world? Because if you're not doing the basics, you're not investing in the kingdom. What's he going to do when he applies that microscope to your life? He already knows if you're faithful a little, he'll give you more. And how many here can say when he gives more, he gives more? And when he gives more, he expects more. And then he gives even more. I'm so blessed, I'm out of my mind with blessing. I really am. I give my time and my money. I learned to do that 40 years ago. When God put me in that position and he said, Casey, we're going to teach you something here. He sounded like a school marm. You're going to learn how to give. I went,
that's okay. I already know. No, you don't.
I had to learn the hard way. And I learned the hard way. I played every game that can be played. I gave. I backed off. I gave portion. I gave a little. I gave too much. But through a very short period of time, of about a year, I learned that God means what he says. If you give me your time and your money, I will make sure that you have both time and money. Never fails. We had people the other day coming up to us saying, I love watching your family. Two gals came up in tears and they're like, we didn't have a good family home growing up. It's an honor to watch people who genuinely love themselves or love each other. I thank you. Influence. That's how you can be.
I can't make my bills.
Really? I don't have that problem.
Why? What do you do?
Jesus.
What?
Yeah. You can tell that story.
In between these two different stories, Jesus rebukes the Pharisees. And he says over here in verse 16, the law and the prophets were proclaimed until John.
Who's he talking about? John who? John the Baptist. That was like about 2 weeks ago. You get that? Because when Jesus said this, John had already been, okay, maybe been a year. It wasn't long. In other words, he was saying the law and the prophets, the Old Testament law, the Pentateuch, and all the prophets that were written, they were in effect up until just a very recent time, until John, which, by the way, he's been beheaded. Now something else new has changed. Do you know what that new is? See, back in the old days, in the Old Testament, God had made a promise. You remember what the promise was? You will be my people. I will give you a land. I will bless you with blessings if you obey me. It was a thing. It was a promise. It was stuff. But now it's going to change because we don't have that promise today. What we have now as a promise is the kingdom. You got that? We have the kingdom of God. Where are we going when we die? Heaven. What are we going to do when we get into the millennial kingdom? What are we going to do?
Come back here and reign with God.
Reign with him. Do you get that? I'm not talking about R-A-I-N. I'm talking about, how do you spell it? R-E-I-G-N? R-E-I-G-N? Reign. Reign. We will reign with him. That means we will rule with him. And who's going to have the most responsibility? The ones who was responsible here. It drives me nuts. I said to Frankie this week, let me tell you something. I get insane when people tell me, well, I don't really care what I get in heaven as long as I get there. No, it wasn't you. It's the other guy. Same place. Yeah, there you go. How many of you here remember when Disney World opened? How many went when it opened? How many of you remember the tickets? Remember the saying when you got back from Disney World? Yeah, we just got back from Disney World. What did everybody ask? Do you have any e-tickets left? You say that today and people don't know what you're talking about. Did you know that? When Disney World opened up, they didn't have armbands. You didn't pay one price to get in. You paid for a ticket book. And in the ticket book, you had so many e-tickets. And then they had D and C and B and A tickets. A tickets were for little pony rides for the little kids. Yeah, Jimmy, you can sit on a pony. A ticket. But if you wanted to ride Space Mountain, or if you wanted any of those cool rides, you had to have an A ticket, an E ticket. You only had so many. The cool part, the interesting part from back then is that they had so many people who just walked around sweeping all the time because people threw their paper. You know, if they had booklets that everything was torn out of it because there was a front and back on it, they would throw it down. So you're walking along and you'd see an empty, you'd see this booklet on the ground. You didn't know that there wasn't a ticket in there, and you pick it up and you look at it and you open it up and there was like a bunch of A tickets and maybe even a B ticket, and you go, yeah. You threw those away. You didn't know that, huh? Well, it did make a mess, and they changed the system the way it works. But imagine getting to heaven and only having A tickets. Did I just tell the story the way it is? Because that's exactly the way it is. Don't insult your master by saying, I don't need much, just a roof over my head. Look, you ain't doing the job. You're not doing what I asked you to do. Okay, so you got a place to lay your head, and I'm feeding you corn cob every day. No, that's not what you want. You want to get there, and you want to have a good position. You want to be responsible, if for only reason to show him how much you appreciate what he's done for you. You got that? So basically, what he is saying is, look, be responsible. Then he goes on to say something strange. The good news of the kingdom of God is being preached, pay attention, to, and everyone is forcing his way into it. Now, when you read that in the English, it sounds like what it says. The kingdom of heaven is being preached, and everybody is forcing themselves into it. Is that a true statement? No, it's not a true statement. I see very few people forcing their way to get into heaven. Most people don't care.
And when you remind them, they don't want to be reminded. So that's not on face value what that means. When you talk about it and read it in the Greek, what it says is this. The kingdom of heaven is being forced upon everyone. The kingdom of heaven is being forced upon everyone. I just basically crossed out his way and I wrote being forced before it. Everyone is being forced into it. You know why? Because the Word of God has been around for many, many years. It's the number one book still to this day in the world. It's written pretty much every language there is. We have been preaching. The church has been preaching. Everybody's been hearing the gospel. Look, there's no excuse. God even said before the Word was out there, I gave you creation. I gave you your heart. I gave you your conscience. Now I'm giving you the Word of God to read. There's no excuse. You are being pressed upon to make a decision. You're going to be forced to make a decision. Nobody goes to hell because they didn't know. They go to hell because they want to. You are being pressed. Make a decision for me or without me. Get that? Does that make sense to you now? See, there's two big things you've learned today. Let's go on to the next one. Verse 19 says, there was a rich man who was dressed in purple and fine linen, lived in luxury every day, and his gate was laid a beggar named Lazarus, covered with sores, longing to eat what fell from the rich man's table. Even the dogs came and licked his sores. Now look, on face value, I don't like this parable. As a matter of fact, the interesting thing is the name of Lazarus is applied to the guy who's sitting there, who's the beggar. He's laid there. He doesn't go there himself. He is literally laid there by somebody else. It's the only time in the Bible where a personal name is given to somebody by Jesus, and his name is Lazarus. It's not Lazarus who was raised from the dead. This is different. He's named Lazarus. So there's a contrast between Lazarus and this rich guy, all right? Now, we got to understand that we're talking about God's stewardship. We turn around and we have a tendency in this story to make Lazarus a good guy and the rich guy a bad guy. I don't want you to do that. That is not true. The rich guy obviously had resources. He had a lot of money. And the reason that people laid this guy or a beggar at his doorstep was because Jewish law stated that you were supposed to help the poor. And so because you're supposed to help the poor, let's just take our Uncle Laz and let's deliver him to in front of the rich guy, and then the rich guy's going to have to do something about it. Just the same reason why I get the mail, and it keeps coming to me. Well, churches are supposed to give, so let's just put out an appeal, and they'll fall for it. I don't fall for it. I don't even think Lazarus fell for it. I mean, the rich guy looking at Lazarus fell for it. People who are in the business of going out to try to take advantage of the system, and you know what I'm talking about. People who are signing up for the disabilities, who don't deserve it, the people who are going out trying to find out how to just make it by, they know when, where, what, and how to play the game. They know when what food is being delivered and given. They know where to go to get it. They know how to play the game. I get phone calls on it all the time. And I don't play any games with them. I just tell them flat out, why don't you show up at church on Sunday and we'll talk about it. They never show. They never come. So are you trying to say I'm uncompassionate because I don't care for those people? Look, I'm in the business of being a good steward. And God doesn't want me to waste it either. This Lazarus is not talked about as a saint. He doesn't do anything. He's just having a bad life. Somebody else is delivering him to the door. Jesus is saying, look, even somebody like Lazarus understands where he can go to at least get a chance and a shot. Do you? Of course you do, because you're here. There's a lot of people out there who don't know that. They don't know. They're going like, well, I don't really know. Life is bad for me. What am I going to do? You know, and then maybe they're trying to eat and try to get some money from you or something. No, no, no. Don't do that. Don't fall for that. Point to Jesus. Jesus is where you can go. Later on it says that the Lazarus dies and the rich man dies and one ends up going to the lake of fire or hell. I'm sorry, not the lake of fire, hell. And then Lazarus gets to go to heaven. We don't know why Lazarus gets to go to heaven.
It doesn't say that Lazarus did anything deserving of going to heaven, because you don't go to heaven just by being sick and poor, right? But the point is that you are called to be a steward. You are called to deliver the goods and make it count, make it last. Being a Lazarus is not a good thing. Sometimes being a rich man isn't either. You got that? The story goes on and it talks about the difference in the place between heaven and hell, which is Sheol, which is the waiting place of the dead before the lake of fire. The point that I'm trying to make here is that the Lazarus and the rich man were involved in life and they had an opportunity to do something and they were being overseen by somebody bigger than them, God. Did they get involved? The other day we were at the swimming pool up at my uncle, my son's house, and these kids are running around. They're running around like crazy. And look, there's nothing I hate worse because I own a swimming pool. You understand what I'm going to say right now? Don't run around a swimming pool. Don't run around a swimming pool. Don't run around a swimming pool. And what were they doing, Gemma? Running around a swimming pool. They were playing tag. I looked at the parents and say, don't run around a swimming pool. Nobody says anything. So I, hey! Get over here! How many times I tell you, don't run around a pool? It's kind of cranky. I know everybody was looking at me. Got real silent after that, but that's okay. I had a choice. I could let my grandkids run around a pool and fall and hurt themselves like they do so many times, or I could get involved. When I got involved, nobody died. Paul just told me about a story. He was out at a restaurant the other day. You want to tell them? You want me to tell them?
It was last night.
Last night.
Me and my neighbor were sitting at the bar right here at Paradise. It's an older couple. Yeah, he's in his 90s. Very well known around that place. And they go there to dance on a regular basis. And being a Jesus guy, I noticed that he was struggling getting back to the vehicle. So I went up and knocked on the window. Son, God love him, say, bless you both, because they offered to help them, and they didn't need them. They said, yeah, they're fine, they can make it home. Well, apparently they didn't. I don't know the end result, but major accident in Oscar last night.
Oh, that's a red thing.
So you saw them drinking. You saw that he needed
them. Drinking.
Okay, but he needed help. You saw that these people weren't really operating, whether it was naturally or whether by drinking or whatever, and you got involved and they refused it. Here's my point. Let me close. Are you involved? 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 Well, I don't have a right to speak up. Oh, yes, you do. Jesus gave you a right to speak up and talk to people in their own lives and tell them right where they are. I do it all the time because he tells me to. It's my job. I'm supposed to be involved. Are you involved? Are you telling people the truth? Are you a good steward? You either know it or you don't. People are talking about you and saying, yeah, that guy over there. I got a lot of people don't like me because I tell people the truth. Got a lot of people love me because I tell them the truth. Tell the truth. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you for your opportunity and your time. There's a lot here, a lot I missed. Could go 2 more hours. Nobody wants that. Father God, just help us to be involved. Help us use our resources for your purpose to plug in for your will, not our own. You already told us you'd bless us beyond our wildest dreams, and I am living proof of that. So help us to see what you're calling us to do in our own little world, in Jesus' name. Amen. I don't know. What time is it? You want to hear a little bit of a song? We'll cut it off.
Right?
Huh? 12 after. Okay, let's play a little bit of the song. We'll play one verse of this and the chorus and we'll be done. I love this. There is something you can do for Jesus when you're having a tough day and having a tough time. You don't know what's going on. And this is it. I love this song, man. Do we have no sound?
Check it.
You can change your circumstances with a prayer. And everything falls apart. Praise His name when you have a broken heart. Raise your hands and say, Lord, you're all I need. You're everything to me, and you'll take the pain away. When it seems you're all alone, praise His name. When you feel you can't go on, just raise your hands and say, greater is He that is within me. You can praise her away. If you just praise His name.
Praising His name is not display. It's action. It's display. Go do so. Let people know that you're a Jesus guy. Yesterday I jumped on cash when they were all around because I had already told them, quick chase, quit playing tiger on the pool area. And I said, hey, get over here, the second time. I said, I told you not to run. He goes,
well, I wasn't running.
I was speed walking. Don't let anybody confuse you with what you're saying. Yes, you are witnessing for Jesus. Don't let them.
Yes, praise out here, Vic.
Father God, in this world, there's so many people who are so obsessed with their resources and their money. And they use these resources to benefit themselves. But Father God, we are your stewards, and we have a fiduciary relationship with you, Father God. And that means that everything that we have is yours, and our fiduciary duty is to use these resources to influence others to our master's cause. And when our fiduciary duty is done, what a friend we will have in Jesus. And He will welcome us into our eternal dwellings, where we will rule and reign with your Son, Jesus, forever. And we pray this in His name. Amen.
I guess God wants you to look up the news here.
You're going to night this.
I think you want something.
I want
something.